news.
This morning, in this morning.
Today?
Yeah.
Op-ed page?
Great big right-hand page.
Romans 9. We studied yesterday all day, our Bible study. Maybe a man who art thou that replies against God, shall a thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter of power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? And what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, that he might make known the mystery, etc., etc. But let's go to Isaiah 29. That's really what he's expanding on.
Oh,
all right. I can right wing to it too.
It's
good I had a bookmark here.
You're a tricky guy.
I learned it from Ronnie. Yeah. We're going to read most of the first 16 verses, and that will be our Bible study this morning. A couple things. One is, when it talks about Ariel, A-R-I-E-L, it's another, it's a reference to Jerusalem. When it talks about being drunk, it's talking about being, and if you read Isaiah 28, you'll see it, it's talking about being drunk with the wine of Ephraim. As we've studied many, many times, the wine of Ephraim is self-seeking. So, 29 verse 1. Woe to Ariel, the city where David dwelt. Add ye year to year, let them kill sacrifices. In other words, do all your religious stuff. Just let it keep going. Do your sacrifices, do your giving me all the glory, do all that stuff. Let it keep going. Yet I will distress Ariel, and there shall be heaviness and sorrow, and it shall be unto me as Ariel. You've got to understand that when we talk about the Jerusalem and the Jerusalem that now is, it's a metaphor for your own head, what's going on in your mind. It's also just as it happened in reality at the Jerusalem over there. So your Jerusalem that now is, our area that now is. All right. I will camp against thee round about, and will lay siege against thee with a mount. And I will raise forts against thee, and thou shalt be brought down, and shall speak out of the ground. Thy speech shall be low out of the dust, and thy voice shall be as of one that hath a familiar spirit out of the ground, and thy speech shall whisper out of the dust. Now this chapter is the primary one that I've said to you so often, that when you are in the mode of self-seeking, when I is the subject of your sentence, then you make the Holy Spirit your enemy. And this is the penultimate chapter about that, in my view. Amen? Moreover, the multitude of thy strangers shall be like small dust. And small dust is the dust that's left over after everything has been weighed. It's not even worthy of being weighed. And the multitude of thy terrible ones shall be as chaff that passeth away. Yea, it shall be at an instant, suddenly. Thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder and with earthquake and with great noise, with storm and tempest, and a flame of devouring fire. And again, remember that what's with earthquake, it's translated from the Septuagint or from Hebrew, either one, it means with great shaking. So it's not necessarily talking about an earthquake of the earth. It's talking about that God is shaking all things, so only that which is unshakable may remain. And the only way that what is in you is unshakable is that which is tied to the mercy seat. That which is the great silver cord that ties you to the mercy seat from out of time and space.
It's the same earthquake that goes all the way through Revelation.
Amen.
It's like that. It's one thing.
Right. You got it? What?
Yeah,
go
ahead. No, I just cementing it's the seed.
And the multitude of all the nations that fight against Ariel, even all that fight against her and her munition and that distress her, shall be as a dream of a night vision. Again, the word nations in Hebrew is Am. It can be translated as people, or nations, or governments, but it's primarily, it just means whatever. What? What's going on?
Who?
You.
I don't have my glasses on.
Oh.
I'll be straight.
And it shall be as when a hungry man dreameth, and behold, he eateth. But he awakeneth, and his soul is empty. Or when a thirsty man dreameth, and behold, he drinketh, but he awakeneth, and behold, he is faint, and his soul hath appetite. So shall the multitude of all the nations be that fight against Mount Zion. Stay yourselves and wonder. Cry ye out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered. And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed. And when men deliver it to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee, and he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee, and he saith, I'm not learning. Wherefore the Lord said, forasmuch as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Now, this is kind of sound familiar, doesn't it? As long as the fear is taught before by the precept of men, then you can sin and it's no big deal. And you can return to self-seeking and it's no big deal. Peace. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudence shall be hid. And woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. They say, who seeth us, and who knoweth us? Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For the work shall say of him that made it, he made me not. Or shall the thing... Let me read it. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not. Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, he had no understanding. Now, this is all... This is what I believe that Paul was targeting when he said... What he said about the potter's clay and shall the thing made reply to me or replying against God. The issue here, and this is critical to everything that I teach, is that the nations are drunk, but not with wine. That would be, you could have some hope for that. They're drunk with self-seeking. And it goes on and on and on, and so we have what to me, it has to be, I think it has to be the Father even more so, much more so, is that people are now sanctified in their self-seeking. by the teaching of these people. This is why the thing Jesus said that he hated was the doctrine of the Balaam and the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. The doctrine of those that mix with government and the doctrine of those that preach success in the name of God. And it sounds so wonderful, so attractive. Again, that's why God has allowed all this to happen. All these things that we see that inside you make you wonder what's going on. God has raised these guys up. So John wrote them the other day, so the church can see itself.
Phrase self-seeking this morning has like the fence of that those two words went down and expanded to self-glorification, self-advancement, self-contemplation, self. I mean that seeking has such a broad scope of activities within us, and I realized that just saying self-seeking didn't cover me. Cover all the...
Because you had a way of wiggling out. But all men do.
Yeah, I mean, I just never... The fullness of it wasn't...
The only way that I can ever describe it is that that's why the point, in order to combat that, if you seek to save your life, any part of your life, any aspect of you, you seek to save it from what? Save it from the death that's demanded of the cross. So death is kind of final. Now, that's why the reason this is so important to me is because the takeaway from my only conversion experience was that I could never do anything ever again to help myself. Now, I've screwed up a million times, but fortunately, repentance is always there. You restore it to your soul, says in the 23rd Psalm.
In the passage we just read, it talks about the fear of me is taught by the precept of men. It's talking about still self-seeking. It's fear of God is taught by the precept of men is self-seeking. It's worship of God to get. It's awe of God to get. It's all the dealings with God are to get.
Fear of God to get, which is so they say. It doesn't really mean fear. It means reverential awe. No, it means fear. If you've elevated yourself, if you've resurrected yourself from the deadly head wound, then the only course of action isn't reverential awe. Oh Lord, we praise you. No. The only course of action is fear. That takes you back to the cross of Christ. Let Him live. The only course of action, if you are trying to do something, if you're trying to get it right, and you ever use that as a justification, Mary, then you know that the fear in that arena right then, the fear of God was taught by the precept of men.
Thinking how ultimate this self-seeking thing is, where it gets right down to breathing. You breathe to survive, to preserve, and maintain. So it's like your sin is ever before you. You see it. There's nothing you do that's not geared towards maintaining.
That's why it's transfigured, transformed, because when you see that every breath is breathing out the waste and breathing in the spirit, every time you take a liquid, you see that it is. It is an affirmation of the communion cup. And every time you take any kind of a food, it's your understanding, your only sustenance and your only satisfaction. Every time you take a dump or go a leak, you're expelling you. So everything is transformed. Every time you perspire, you're expelling you. So everything... either shows you ultimate self-seeking or you see it as the mystery of God. Because you look at nothing and you see through everything. thing which is the ultimate, what you said, the ultimate in self-seeking, the breath, is actually, then we can transform that quickly into the ultimate revelation.
Into the spirit.
Your death.
Yeah, but that's the closest you can define spirit is breath.
What?
Oh, I don't know. I was thinking about pregnancy and how the mother's welfare and nutrition is secondary to that of the baby. It's how that's automatic, how that's an example of laying down your life.
Let's, we're going to close off this chapter because it all has to do with this syllable. Work of the hands, say to him that made it, why have you made me? So the potter and clay. So in verse 16, surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, he had no understanding? Now the turning of things upside down is the critical issue of understanding. Because as long as you live in this upside-down world, the Alice in Wonderland kind of thing, then you will see that what is good is what benefits mankind. And you can have a jillion arguments to show you that what you're doing is a benefit to mankind. And you'll always be wrong. And the ultimate example of that is Peter's attempt to save Jesus from the cross. And he said, get thee behind me, Satan. If you savorest the things of man in any way, if you think you're helping people in any way, then you're not doing it as unto God, you're doing it as unto the people, and you'll have, by definition, an investment in the outcome. Amen? All right. Is it not yet a very little while, and Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest, and in that day shall the deaf hear the words of this book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. And they're talking about looking out. They're seeing what's happening with it. You see finally the New Jerusalem. You see Lebanon as a fruit. You see, it doesn't matter what's going on. The meek shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall receive in the Holy One, rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. For the terrible one, and again notice, the is, it has an article before it, the terrible one, and it's talking about the evil one in the temple. You and I. The evil one is brought to naught, and the scorner is consumed, and all that watch for iniquity are cut off. They that make a man an offender for a word, and lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate, and turn aside the just for a thing of naught. Therefore thus saith the Lord, who redeemed Abraham, concerning the house of Jacob. Jacob shall not now be ashamed, neither shall his face now wax pale, when he seeth his children, the work my hands in the midst of him, they shall sanctify my name and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob, and shall fear the God of Israel. And they also that erred in spirit shall come to understanding, and they that murmured shall learn doctrine. Now, prayerfully, these last few verses from 17 to 24, if you believe what the scriptures, what Paul said, is that can only come by the preaching of the cross. It's not preaching about the cross. It's preaching the cross being your death. That's all I have to say.
Amen. Amen.
Anybody else? You see the connection between Romans 9 and Isaiah 29? We should have, if we had. If I had any rollover minutes, we'd have started in Isaiah 28, so that's your homework.
Yeah, Isaiah 29 is a...
follows Isaiah 28.
Well, it's a reading for Hanukkah.
I know. Well, that's Hanukkah starts today.
Okay. We celebrated this last week.
I know.
But that's a...
Something is not quite... John, is it you?
I don't know.
What's going on?
Nothing, I'm just...
Take a big one. We got to get out of here because the electrician's coming at 8.
He's not allowed to be seen by people.